Morning, everyone.
Morning.
We really like hugs. I like that.
Hugs are awesome.
All right. So I think it was probably, I don't know, a month and a half ago where Chuck texted me and said, "Hey, Joel, do you want to speak on the 16th of November?" And I was like, let's do that. And then Hannah sends me a message later and it's like, "Hey, do you guys want to speak on the 16th of November?" And I was like, "What do you mean, you guys?" So we didn't really clue into the fact. So I'm the one that is speaking, but she helped me. So that counts. But it's actually really funny because I was like trying to figure out if what God had for me to say, and maybe I was waiting a little too long. You know, if you hear about it a month and a half ago and then it's a week before and you're like, "All right, let's get to it." And then you're praying, and God's like, what did I hear? I heard, learn how to have grace for God and love for people. And I was like, okay, interesting. How do we figure that one out? Then I go and talk to some people, and they're like, "Well, you know, grace means that God should have, like, if you have grace for somebody, it's usually about sin, right? So that might be a difficult topic, like, because God doesn't really sin." And so I was talking about it with my grandma, and she was like, "Well, what if it's actually about how when God does something in your life, or when something in your life happens and it's really difficult for you, do you forgive God for life? And it's not that he did anything wrong, but are you holding bitterness in yourself against God, or in another case, somebody else in a relationship in your life? So now I'm going to talk about that and go through a couple examples of different places in the Bible where we see friendship. And later, exactly what Chuck was saying, I would like to focus in on our relationships in our life and whether there's bitterness or things we're holding against other people and pray about it. So we'll start off and we'll end up there at the end. So I really liked what Chuck said. Not everyone has smiles in their heart, even if it's on their face. So when we have friendships with people and we're upset at them and something is going on and something is going wrong, do we share it? Do we show them? Do we not just keep it there and never share it? And something I've been researching lately is the idea of lamenting. Because lamenting is never... we don't really do that much in our culture. Something happens with God, something happens with somebody else, and we hang on to it. We don't really share it with God. We don't yell it at God and say, "God, I'm angry at you," because we think that's wrong. We don't think we can be angry at God. We think that's non-divine. I don't know. But God wants us to be angry with him if we're angry. If we keep this anger inside of us and push it down, then we don't get it out. And he wants it to be out. He doesn't want it to be in. And he appreciates that because that develops a friendship with God, that develops a relationship with God, which we don't always chase after in the way I think we should. And I don't chase after it in the way that I think I should. So first off, we need to have a friendship with God. And if we don't have a friendship with God, why don't we have a friendship with God? What does it take to have a friendship with somebody? What does it take to be a brother? What does it take to be a sister? What does it take to have community and relationship with one another? So I'd like to mention or talk about just briefly a couple different places in the Bible that I was looking at where it shows an example of a companionship or a friendship and the reasoning of God to put people on earth together with one another to do life together. And this is the first one. This is Genesis 2:20 to 23. "So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed it up, the place with flesh. And then the Lord God made a woman from that rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man, and the man said, This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she has been taken out of man. So we read that, and we read it, I think a lot of us will read it as, this is the creation story. This is God creating Adam and Eve. This is God creating man and woman. But there's other translations of, in the Hebrew, where woman, or around the word of woman, is about a helper. It's about a helpmeet, I think it is. Or something like that. I don't remember exactly what it is, but the point is a companion. He's making a companion, he's making a suitable helper for Adam. Regardless of how the translation spins it, he is making somebody for us to be a companion with. And if you look around the room, you see men and women sitting beside each other and in relationship and helping each other and going through life together. And if you're married, you have kids and you're traveling and you're raising those kids. And if you tried to do that alone, as I know unfortunately some people in our world have, how does that go? Is it hard? Is it difficult? Like, it's very difficult. If we try to go through life, if we go through something difficult with someone and we say, I don't want their help anymore, and that's the only person that can help you, say that's God. Say we go through something difficult with God and we say, God, I don't want your help anymore because it was difficult. And then you try to go through life on your own. Is that difficult? Is that hard? I would say so. And another example I want to talk about is actually in Philippians with Paul. And it's, I don't know how to pronounce the name, with the Euphrates. So when Paul is sending a letter to the Philippians, this is Philippians 2, 25 to 30. He's talking about a brother that the Philippian church has sent to Paul to help him in his captivity. And I don't think we actually know exactly where that captivity is or was, but regardless, they have sent him somebody for himself as an offering, as a gift, to help him through whatever he's going through. And I want you to listen to how this friendship, this companionship, this brotherhood, is how Paul sees it. So I'll start reading at verse 25. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Euphrates, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. So, when we call on our friends, when we call on our church, when we're, say, a missionary, we're far away, and we call on them, do you think that these days we would send somebody from the church over there as their servant? Honestly, I want some answers. Do you think so? No? Yes? No. I don't think we would. But in this example of brotherhood, this example of companionship, this example of friendship, not only did he send a message back to the Philippian church and say, hey, I don't think God's helping me out the same way he was last time. I need some help this time. And they're like, we're going to send you a whole man. We're going to send you a guy. His name is Euphrates. You've probably heard of him before. He's volunteered to come and visit you. He's going to get very homesick, you know, or ill or something, but he's going to come because he wants to come, because we're your friend. And another interesting thing about Philippians is it's the only book of the letters where Paul doesn't introduce himself in the same way. He's introducing himself as a friend to the Philippian church, as a friend to them, as very close to them, as a partner with them. And this is like an encouragement sermon. And in the encouragement sermon, he's like, hey, thanks for sending me Euphrates. Like, he was awesome, but he's feeling really sick, and he misses you guys, and I'm going to send him back to you. So not only did he get somebody who's a friend, who's a companion, who's a brother, to help him when he's in captivity, but he said, oh, he's too sick, I'm going to send him home now. So he didn't say, send me another one. Send me a Samuel. Send me a Joseph. Like, he didn't say, send me another Euphrates. No, he said, he came, he helped. Now we're going to honor him. We're going to honor men like him because he almost died from whatever sickness he got to come and help me. We sometimes won't even go and help somebody move houses. This guy traveled to a different place in a different universe from his own to be a helper to... He might not have ever met Paul. I don't know. He might just have been from the church, and Paul has been away for a very long time, and he said, I'll go. If somebody out in Africa said, we need somebody to come, like, who's going to come? Would one of us say, yeah, we'll go. I'll go to Africa and be your servant, look after you while you're in jail? I don't know if we would. So I really like to point that out as a point of friendship and a point of companionship, that this is examples in the Bible. This Adam and Eve being close, being one, be going everywhere together, doing everything together, God creating Adam and Eve for each other, and then go to the church, and when Paul is in trouble, when Paul needs help, he calls out to his church, and then they send a whole man. They send a messenger. They send a guy. They're like, we're going to give you this guy, and he volunteered to do it. And then when he needed to go home, Paul didn't say, I need another one. He said, thank you for your help. Honor this guy. He almost died for me. I think that's a very beautiful example of companionship, of friendship, of what relationship looks like in the church. Am I quiet back? Oh my gosh. Hey, now I'm like taking over the universe. Yeah, that's not what our relationships look like a lot of the time. And then what ends up happening is if somebody needs help and we don't go and help them, or we ask for help and somebody doesn't come and help us, instead of being like, oh, they're just busy, we get bitter, usually, because we feel like, woe is me, I asked for help and nobody came to help me. But when somebody asked us for help, did we go and help them? I'm not sure. I don't know each and everyone's individual situation, but we can't expect other people to do for us what we're not doing for them. And it's an interesting topic, because when we're angry at God, do we show God that we're angry? Why would he show us that he's angry if we're not showing him that we're angry? And frankly, he does show us that he's angry. But it still doesn't change the fact that we will keep those emotions inside of us. And it's a beautiful example of Paul, where, from what I can tell from just reading that gap, he doesn't seem angry that his helper has to go home. He's happy that his helper has to go home, and it removes anxiety from him for him to go home and be with his family. And I think that's really, really awesome. So, now what happens if Euphrates goes home and we get very angry? What happens if Paul all of a sudden got angry that he no longer has any help? That's what we have to do there. Or one thing that we can do is we can lament. We can share our frustrations, but know that God is still God. And I would like to read Psalms 13 as an example of a lament. And I'll try to read this from my best poetic standpoint that I can, but we'll see what happens. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me, answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemies will say I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation, and I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. So it sounds like David right there was quite angry. He was quite alone. He felt like God had forgotten him, like he's not looking on him, that he won't triumph over his enemies, that he's stuck in some way and not receiving help. And then at the end it's, but I trust in your unfailing love, and my heart rejoices for your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. One, do we get upset at God when something doesn't go the way that we want to go? And do we keep that in, or do we share it with him? And two, do we praise him afterwards? Do we say, thank you for saving me? Even though you made me angry, thank you for saving me. Thank you for being there in the toughest times, even though I'm talking about you not being there or feeling like you're not there in my toughest time. Like, do we see it like that? Do we know that God is everywhere at all times, seeing everything? And then when we stub our toe, we're like, God, why didn't you let me see that block of wood in the ground? It's like, no, he knew the block of wood was there, and you probably put it there when you're doing construction a year ago, and you were like, I need to move that block of wood. And he's like, yeah, I'm remembering you of that block of wood. And then a year later, you stub your toe on it, and you're like, oh, God, why didn't you make me take that block of wood out? And he's like, well, I told you a year ago. So what things are we going through in our life where we could have solved it a year ago when God was giving us the clues and giving us the answers? Or maybe we have a friendship like this Euphrates one. Like, imagine Euphrates leaves and Paul's like, I'm really angry at Euphrates. He got sick, he almost died, and I didn't want him to go home. And then a year later, he's like, hey guys, send me some more help. And they're like, well, you just like shooed Euphrates away and got angry that he had to leave because he almost died and he wanted to go home and be with his family. It's like, why would we send you somebody else? So we hold bitterness in our hearts against other people. It's like the boy who cried wolf. If we cry and we cry and we cry and we cry, and then when we actually need help, God's like, you just wasted all your resources in asking over and over and over again and showing people that you're not actually thankful for the help that they do provide. And I think that's very important to remember. So now that I talk about all this, about the feelings of friendship, of companionship, of examples of people looking after one another. And have you ever had the opposite? Have you ever felt not looked after, not cared about, not looked at properly, not respected for the work that you did do, not seen for the person that you are, and you're holding bitterness, whether that's towards God or towards others? And I know I didn't speak for too long, but Chuck was saying earlier about prayer, about finding those things in your heart and letting them go, and being open to sharing with God those frustrations, and being open to letting that person out of your heart. And even if you feel like you can't let that person out of your heart, but to pray to God and be honest. I don't feel like I can let this person out of my heart. I don't feel like I can forgive them. I don't feel like it's worth forgiving them because they're never going to forgive me. Are we caring about our own heart attitude? Are we caring about other people's heart attitude towards us? Because I think we should really focus on our own heart attitude and be like Paul. When his friend got sent away because he was sick and he has no longer any help, he says, I am thankful that he's going home. Not, I'm mad that he's going home and I'm going to hold bitterness against him. So I'd really like to spend some time and ask God, and I guess the worship team can come up. I want to spend a good chunk of time and do what Chuck was talking about earlier, not just for a minute, but for a little longer, and really search our hearts if there's any people we're holding on in our hearts, or if we're holding on to angerness and bitterness at God, and to realize that there's a whole bigger story that we don't see, that God is revealing very slowly, And that when we feel like God has wronged us, is there actually something that we're learning, that we're going to grow, that we're going to see later? And if we feel like somebody else has wronged us, have we shared that with them? Have we lamented to them? Have we went to them and said, I am really angry at you. You did this to me, but I still love our friendship. Because it needs both. It shows in all the laments of David to God. It is, I'm angry at you. I feel like you've abandoned me. Where are you, Lord? But I love you. And do we do that with other people? Do we lament at them, share with them, be angry at them, show them our emotions, allow them to see how we feel about them, and then say, but you're awesome and I love you? Do we end it like that? Do we end arguments with love? Or do we walk away and we stomp our feet and we say, I'm going to have another conversation with you later? And you know, if you do, that's okay. But the goal is to walk away of an argument in love. And that's really, really, really hard. Very, very, very hard. So I'd like us to take some time, and I'm going to take some time too, and think about who we're holding in our heart, and if we've shared with them that we're angry and lamented with them or not. And that can be God as well. So I don't want to leave it there. I don't want to leave it you with just having thoughts about these deep feelings and not be able to get prayer for them. But I think it would make sense to me to say, come up here and one of the elders will pray for you. But I just talked about community and brotherhood and friendship. So go to somebody that you love here. Go to somebody that you see as a mentor, as somebody that you love. And whether you share what you're thinking about or not, pray with them. Pray with them. Ask them for help in whatever you're going through. And hopefully it can help you be free. So let's do that. Find somebody.